And for those sure enough Bible believers and followers, and you wake up one morning and you don't have your Bible anymore, that's a big deal, and something that we can all learn something from.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on November 27, 2024, and is titled, Outside the Camp. So grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Doing their traditional giving thanks, and I don't know, but some people have some traditions of writing things down that you're thankful for. I'd be real curious to know how many times tomorrow that the Bible gets mentioned. And I'm thankful for the Bible. And so anyhow, go on and tell us some other stuff.
Well, there's really not a whole lot more to tell. It just, you know, the fellowship and the helping people, you couldn't get enough of it. Like I say, the worst part of it was we slept in a fellowship hall. There was like 20 other men there, and I tell you what, men snore, they're hard of hearing, and they get up all night long. You don't get much sleep. But other than that, it was pretty good. But
Well, you're not going to do very good in prison. You better stay out of prison.
No, it was good. It was almost like it was better for us than it was anybody else, because we were just so blessed. And on the way back home, I was praying, and I was asking God, you know, God, I hope we did some good out there, and just questioned myself as to how much good we really did. And he answered me, and he says, "What if you lost everything and somebody from North Carolina showed up at your doorstep, would you feel grateful?"
Amen.
I said, "Yes, sir, Lord. Thank you."
That's what it is. It's about showing up. You got to show up. We pray for people all the time, but somebody has to show up. That's the big deal. And until you realize the magnitude of the goodness of God in all of our lives, you may never feel the need to show up. If you've just simply played the routine of religion on your way to heaven, you just sit here like a bump on a hump till Jesus comes back and see how it works. But that's what the body of Christ is all about. Showing up. Making the phone calls. Making an appearance. Being somewhere. And you don't have to drive to North Carolina. It's just give somebody a reason to be thankful. Isn't that a great way to do it? Give somebody a reason to be thankful. That would be better than just standing around making a thankful list. You know, I got a new pickup. Oh, I got a living quarters horse trailer. I got roping horses. I got saddles. I got, you know, got new living room furniture. Lord, you've just really blessed us.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have any of that.
I love church. Church is not exactly where it's at. It's being a doer of the word, and you get blessed more almost than the people you're blessing. And we've all experienced that. And I mean, Jack and I will be going back. Well, I mean, if anybody's interested, holler at us. We're probably going to go back December, January, somewhere in there and try it again. It's great.
Did y'all have a church service while you were there in them 3 days?
Yeah, we had a devotion every night, and in the little church there where we were at, they had church service there one night, and that church service, they also kind of had a information about how they were doing things, and the Baptist on mission out there, they were pretty well finished with the recovery phase, and they were starting rebuild phase, and that's where they're going back into homes and putting sheetrock back in, and trying to get them livable, these homes livable. They're not going to be finished by any means, but this is the next phase, get them to where people can live in again.
So I'm just guessing here, just listening. So when y'all got together every day for your devotional, I'm assuming that it was to encourage each other, to glorify God, and get a strategy for tomorrow.
Yes, they were so well organized. They had I don't know what his official title was, but they had a guy there that was kind of the administrator, and he would assign us different tasks to do that day, and then he would go out and go to the places where people had called that needed help, and he'd go assess what was needed there the next day, and then he'd line things up, make sure we had the tools we needed and everything to go for the next day. And so it was a well-oiled machine. They didn't take, I mean, there was nobody getting a salary out of that or anything. It was all volunteer work. They pulled up a trailer there, a shower trailer, where you could take a shower of a night. They did all your washed all your clothes for you. They fed you. I mean, they were just a great organization. If you sent them any money, it went towards the people and helping people.
So just listen to you talk and how fruitful you were outside the camp. You were outside. You were generous. You were doing good, just like what it says right here in the book. So what if we gathered up on a regular basis to encourage each other, to glorify God, and get a strategy for in the morning? You think our fruitfulness would change any if we didn't just get another strategy for going to heaven, but if we had a strategy for in the morning? And we don't have one big project we're all working on here. Everybody's got whatever's under your nose, but it's kind of all the same. You know, everybody's got needs and people got needs and we got places we need. You know, honest and truly, if you want to talk about a national disaster, we could just talk about fatherlessness and kitchen tables. So maybe we could just get a strategy for showing up. Isn't that what this is all about? Come together, encourage each other. Because I've always been curious, Lauren, why would you need spiritual gifts to really for the gathering? Wouldn't we need them outside the camp? That's when I've always needed them.
Yeah, and how do you feed your spirit? Okay, this word, but actually being a doer of the word. That's
doers.
Yeah, doing stuff to help people, actually being the hands and feet. There's nothing like it. I mean, your heart has changed. It's transformation. When you go out and you help other people, they see it. They want to be a part of it. They want you. You know, I mean, you don't talk somebody into heaven. That's Jesus' job. You just show up and work.
There you go. You just bring heaven with you, and you just show up and do the deal. And so I wonder, Lauren, at the end of the day, who's the most thankful, the ones who did the work or the ones in the mess?
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is I'm thankful.
There you go. I mean, it is. It's kind of a trick question, but how does that work? Are you the most thankful because you were allowed the opportunity to participate in something, allowed the opportunity to participate in somebody's life, allowed the opportunity to do good and be generous, or the one sitting there who just lost their house and somebody showed up, their prayers were answered? You know, we've talked about that in here a lot. Did you feel any time in them 3.5 days that you might be the answer to somebody's prayer?
Oh, yes and no. I mean, I don't really think in those terms. I just know I want to help. My heart is in the place where I just want to help people. I don't know how that's going to turn out, but all I know is I'm showing up and I'm helping.
Yeah, so in all essence, you're the answer to somebody's prayer. Because at the same time they're praying, God, we need help. God, we need you to help us. And at the same time you're praying, God, I'd like to help somebody. He says, good. I know how to make all this work really good. And you become an answer to somebody's prayer. So you wonder at Thanksgiving, are you more thankful to be the answer? Or are you more thankful that the answer showed up? I think it's an even balance. But if you're not the one in the situation at the moment, a lot of us are not in a situation. Robin and I, we're not in a situation at the moment. We'll probably get another turn one of these days. We've been in situations, and you know what? In the middle of those situations, we weren't able to do much for anybody else. I had somebody text me one time when I was laying in the hospital there with that chemo in my neck and said, I can't wait to see how many people get saved with you in the hospital. And I didn't say anything, but I thought to myself, well, that'll be zero because I'm trying to save myself. And that was the truth. I'm trying to save myself. I'm not any good. But at that point in time, God, you're thankful when people show up. You're thankful somebody's taking care of your wife. You're thankful that people are becoming the answer to your prayers, because you're praying for a lot of things that people need to deliver. When I ask God to take care of my family, I'm not expecting manna to fall from heaven. You see, in the promise, when Joshua crossed over, God said that wasn't going to happen anymore. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. So when I pray for God to take care of my family, I'm praying somebody's listening because somebody's going to have to show up. I'm praying because the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. And to show up, they can't all of us jump up and go to North Carolina. Nobody's asking anybody to do what Lawrence and Jackie did. But if the devil somehow snuck into the camp and has taught us how to sit down and mind our own business and don't get involved, don't be generous, don't give your time, don't pay attention, just go to church and check the boxes and plan on going to heaven. We need to defeat him, and we need to defeat that theology. The devil's defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So tonight I wanted Lauren to come and give testimony to a disaster that we all watched live and in color on TV, where entire towns were wiped away. Thousands of people that they still can't identify here or not. A lot of things will never be replaced. A lot of things never be reconciled. But in the midst of that mess, we find two kinds of thankful. The ones who've just been mucked out are thankful somebody showed up. And the ones who stepped out and said, here am I, Lord, send me, are thankful because they got to participate. Well, apparently thankfulness shouldn't be that hard. If both sides of the coin remain thankful in these situations. And one of the things, Lauren, I've known for a long time, tragedy and suffering levels the playing field. It's easy to get on the same page when everybody's up to their earlobes and alligators. We just want out of the alligator pit. When everything's going good, maybe we're not at our best.
I totally agree with that. When you go back and you see how other people have suffered, and you, if you still take for granted what God has given you, I mean, my goodness, you've got a hard heart. I mean, these people were suffering. They needed help, and why am I so blessed, Lord? This earthly place is not my home. I don't want to get tied up in possessions.
Exactly, and those possessions, as nice as it is, and then Robin and I, we're a very blessed couple, you know. Business is good, things are good, But it still needs to remain at the discretion of God. Am I available? Are my assets available? Is my time available? That's one of the things that makes this fellowship work. It's a model right out of Acts chapter 2 and chapter 4, where this place is not about the preacher and his wife. We're going to take care of somebody else, and we're going to let that guy take care of himself. Then it works. When you don't owe anybody, because we don't, this old shed's good enough for us, and Alan and Carolyn have made an old dance hall look pretty darn religious, really. It looks pretty good. We've done good. But it's a good place to get. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing. One day this thing will be gone. Won't matter. God won't disappear because this thing disappears. But because of the pattern and out of generosity, we're able to do a lot at the drop of a hat. You know, if the next time you go and you call me on the phone and say, we found a family out here in the sticks that still don't have a house, we can buy a house the next day. When the sun comes up, we can buy them a house. I mean, ain't that hard. We bought a thrift shop the other day, and we bought a food pantry the other day, and it's not that hard to do. It's just not that hard. You know, when he says, my ways are not burdensome, wasn't hard to go over there, was it? No, when God sets you up, it's not hard. His pattern works really well. Harmonizes really well. It's when we get our religious fingers stuck in there, and then things get a little tricky. Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, when God's ready for you to do something, everything falls into place. And that's the way it was whenever we went out there. Just, like I say, everything we did just lined up, no problems anywhere along the way, going or coming. Just, yeah, it was like, okay, God said, it's time to go. I'll bless you. And he got us out there and back safe and sound. Just a great trip. Got to meet, you know, new friends. Just great experience.
It's something you won't ever forget. Have you ever forgotten a church service?
Which one?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you think about the routine of religion and how easy it is to forget and what we do as Christians. And thank God for this Baptist group of people who have set this up and put a lot of thought and a lot of prayer into organizing something, you know, and different things that in the midst of organized religion, which sometimes I've kind of lend to getting in the way of things. But when God gets in the middle of it, man, you do a lot of good. And it doesn't, the denominational walls fall down, people, geography falls down, all that falls apart when people come together for the common good and we are united in purpose. That's one of the things we've talked about here for a long time across our country, becoming united in purpose. What is the purpose of serving Jesus? I think it's as simple as just showing up outside the camp. I think showing up outside the camp is what we're all called to do. We're all pretty sure when you get born again that coming to the camp is the number one thing. It is. If you're going to encourage each other, glorify God, and get a strategy for the morning. That's just exactly what George Washington was doing when he established the first Thanksgiving in America that's truly a national holiday. They had come together and they thanked God. They kept encouraging each other. You know, these boys have been getting their butt handed to them now for a while. They kept encouraging each other. And then they got them a plan for in the morning. And in the middle of that, he said, now, I want to remind y'all, this is everything God's been doing. We should set aside a day in November, and we should thank him for it. We should set aside a day and say thank you. And so that's what we're doing here on a national holiday, but how many days and You shouldn't have to make yourself get up in the morning and go sing a song about entering his courts with thanksgiving and his house with praise. But just get up in the morning, and it's probably not going to be every morning. But there's going to be certain mornings where you're certain times of day, certain evenings, where you just stop for just a minute and you go focus on the goodness of God. And man, here in a minute, you can't quit telling him thank you. His goodness is like trying to drink out of a fire hydrant. It's more than you can handle.
I was talking to Curtis Allen this morning. He was telling me about a lady that her family has won't let her come to Thanksgiving dinner because of political differences. And I just thought, what a shame. What a total shame whenever you let politics divide your family. And I all day long I've thought about how grateful I am. My family is, we don't care. I mean, we don't have agree all the time, but we agree we're family and we're going to help each other and take care of each other, pray for each other. And
you should let them come, Lorne, and then you can get them fixed. No, not really. But yeah, you're right. And I'm as opinionated as anybody. But in looking things over this morning, and I listened to a deal early this morning talking about seminary and preachers, and I shared it on Facebook. Some of you might have hit it. I thought it was really good. And this guy had been in ministry for 70 years, letters behind his name, the whole thing. And he said, here's my advice to the young guys. Don't go to seminary. Read your Bible more and pray more. That's it.
I've got something there. My son-in-law went to seminary, and I asked him one day how many of his professors were spirit-filled. He had, I think, 8 or 9. He told me 2, maybe 3. And I thought, what? Why are you even at a seminary if the people teaching you are not spirit-filled?
Not born again, even.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that being said, so this morning when I listened to that, like I spent a lot of time with the Lord this morning. It was just one of them days. I had not been the best guy earlier in the week, so a lot of time with the Lord was absolutely necessary to get me back to plumb. And so in doing that, reading my Bible and praying this morning for hours, not minutes, it brought me to a new place of recognizing that not have a thorn in my shorts every day for everybody and everything and the stuff I don't like and the people I don't like and the politics I don't like and the situations I don't like and try to find some good in it. Try to find some opportunity in it somewhere. It was a preconceived notion in my head that I already had a root of bitterness, and I've had a gentleman test my mustard a little bit Monday, and man, it just didn't go good. It just didn't go good at all. And I mean, there's not one thing of me reflected Jesus other than maybe a minute or two when he was in the temple turning them tables over would have been the only resemblance we had there for just a minute. And it was because I was already screwed up. I'd already let my mind get in a spot. Culturally, different things. People not playing by the same rules. I'd already let my mind get there. So he didn't have to hit all the buttons. He just had to hit one. And by the time he hit 3, shoot. I'm full on go mode, you know, and you know, it's not good. That's not good. And so how do you fix that? This, reading about being thankful, reading about appreciating people that you don't even like, reading, trying to say, okay, Lord, look, I'm not fitting into this very good. And then being honest enough to look at yourself and go, okay, I can definitely do better and I will. It's called repentance. I think we're pretty confused about that sometimes, about repenting and apologizing.
Yeah, I've got something. I'm part of different Bible studies, Jim, one of them, Gene, Curtis. And anyway, something that I've always felt really fortunate about is they love me enough to tell me when I'm wrong.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.